Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Faqad qala Allah tabarak wa ta'ala fil Qur'anil Majid ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad. Wattaqullaha innallaha khabirun bima ta'malun. Sadaqallahul azim. Elders and dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in the world for a very short time. To pass this worldly life and get to the akhirat, there are different stages in a person's life. Whatever we are experiencing or we experienced in the recent past, where we find the unrest, volatility, we don't know what's going to happen next. Understand, every condition that comes upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing new. Is nothing new. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam's entire life from the age of 40 till the time he closed his eyes was a life of unrest and volatility. Whether in Makkah Mu'azzama for 12, 13 years, the entire life was that of unrest. Every day, every night, there was no guarantee of safety. For 12, 13 years of Makki Zindagi, of the life of Makkah Mukarrama, the command was given to hold back, not to retaliate. Hold back, don't retaliate. We can imagine the life of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam and Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Every day from within their own quarters, within their own families, the Quraysh, Banu Hashim, different tribes, own family members. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَكَذَّبُوا. Fassirin mentioned this ayat in the Quran Sharif displays the most amount of pain Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam experienced in his life. That a Rasul came from them to them. But they falsified him. What does it mean? They knew his parents. The people of Makkah knew his background, knew his lineage, knew his family, knew their standing, knew their social status, knew their financial status, knew who they were, his grandfather, his great-grandfather. But then too, knowing who he was, what hasab, what nasab, what status in the society, then too, when he knocked the doors and he walked the streets, then too, spitting upon him, hitting him from the back, dropping him to the ground, putting upon him intestines of camels while performing salah in the shade of the Kaaba Sharif. An entire life of unrest. In the Kaaba Sharif itself, in the Haram and Makki itself also, no peace of performing salah there also. They're performing salah, so to say, under siege. What's going to happen next? Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam goes to sajda, and the mardood, a cursed kuffar, come and put the intestines of camel upon his back so he can't get up. Ulama explained, the most beloved of Allah, in the most beloved of places, in the most beloved posture of sajda, front of the Kaaba Sharif, the Malikul Muluk, the king of all kings, looking at his most beloved, look at what he's going through for the deen of Allah. But then to my Nabi, don't move, you still stay, continue giving the da'wat, continue. To the extent Sahaba Ikram, for us to understand, we have to learn to react to every condition from the lives of Sahaba. Not based upon society and the community and the politics of our country. Our success is in going back to Madinatul Munawwara. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what was their reaction? They went through all of these things, financial insecurity. When they were also boycotted, sanctions upon them for 3 years. The valley of Abu Talib ostracized 3 long years. You see, the cries of the babies of Sahaba radiallahu anhum was heard by the people in Makkah Mukarramah. Babies were crying because of hunger. No food, no milk, no bread in our terms. Sanctions, no dealing with them. 3 long years, sanction, boycott. You can't leave, no one can go in there, no one can leave from there. That too they went through. So entire life of Makkah Mukarrama, to the extent Sahaba Ikram came to Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, Nabi of Allah, how much longer? How much longer do we take the beating? That ayat we mentioned, the most amount of pain in Nabi was sent from you people to you also. They knew him, but then to the humiliation. You know my father, you treat me like this. You know my grandfather. You know our business. You know our background. In our terms, you know our gam also. That we hagas and we connections. But then do you treat me like this? How can it be? My father helped your father. My grandfather set up your grandfather. Today you're eating the fruits of it. And now you talk to me like this, you bang the door on my face. We can imagine the pain in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that my grandfather, great grandfather were the custodians of the Kaaba Sharif, giving water to the Hajis to drink. We fed you all, we took care of you all. But then to this treatment, with the akhlaq, wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. Ulama explained, if you want to learn akhlaq and character, Allah has given the franchise of good character to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to go back to his threshold and learn from him. After all this ill treatment, this punishment, persecution, for 12, 13 long years, Sahaba Ikram come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Nabi of Allah, what's the solution? What is the solution? Shall we hit back, retaliate? We took care of them, we were good to them, but then to this treatment, how much longer? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam draws the attention away from dunya to akhirat, away from mal, from wealth and position to a'mal, away from the creation to the creator. Solution is not here, solution is by Allah. Now that all these political scenarios around us and the environment, every person has become now an analysis. I think it's because of this and because of that. We want to know the system of dunya. Sahaba ikram knew the system of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That if we will do this, what will be the reaction from Allah jalla jalaluhu? No matter how much we may talk, what's the intel we received, what's going to happen next, we can discuss and we can get to the bottom of it, but nobody is listening to me or to you. They will do what they have to do. We have to do what we have to do. Our solution is to go back to Medina Sharif. What was the solution? What was given to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum? For us to engage in those amal, to draw the rahmat of Allah jalla jalalu. To understand that the fear of meeting Allah is something which is to be afraid of. This, all this unrest, whether it be the virus, whether it be the unrest, the entire hype in social media is to create fear. And ask myself, what am I fearful of? Instill fear within us for us to meet our Creator. We become afraid of this. The bottom result, the end of everything will be that possibly I will lose my life. We have been created for akhirat. We have been created to meet Allah. A woman doesn't fear that. He doesn't fear that. He's preparing for it every day. We're making dua for shahadat. We're making dua, Ya Allah. Give us in salah. Give us in a correct time, in a correct place, in your pleasure. Yes, you want to live with the afiyat. You don't say throw your life away. But we can discuss everything happening around us. But we should be understanding the system of Allah. What should I be doing right now? Sahaba ikram went through it. They came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, O Nabi of Allah, how much longer? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam draws the attention away that, oh my sahaba, they were anbiya of before, messengers of Allah. That their own people remove the skins of the Nabi with iron claws. Even to that also. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were put into pits and they were sawed into a half because of kalama in the heart. Because of the effort of deen. Those were anbiya, you are sahaba. You'll have to go through this little bit sabr. Sabran ya ala nasir. Oh family of Yasir, a bit of sabr. A bit of sabr, the promised place is Jannat for you. They went through it. Family member, Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the first woman, the first shaheed in the history of Islam was a female. And how the brutality. They tied both her legs up to two conveyances and pierced her in the most delicate part of her body and killed her. Sahaba ikram saw that also. But then to my sahaba, don't retaliate. Then to show akhlaq. Then to open your hearts. And what was the culmination after 9-10 years of that qurbani, when they could not take it anymore, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the solution and Allah called His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for mi'raj. We would think now that give them an army. What Allah gave them? Gave them salah. That now don't complain, through salah take from Allah. What you want? Security? You want prosperity? You want afiyat? You want protection? Salah has everything in it. Power pack, capsule, everything, 3-in-1, 10-in-1. Everything in salah. Turn to salah, ask Allah. Allah will do it for you. So all the Sahaba Ikram went through. Then finally the command was given, now leave everything. Or you will see in our terms, now run for your life. Leave everything. How much you take with you? One camel load, possibly. Pack one bag, leave freehold properties and everything behind. Freehold vehicles, properties, businesses and everything. Leave it and move. For the sake of deen, go to Madina Munawwara. They left everything. Nothing they could take with them. We haven't found any riwayat is yet in the kitabs and narration where Sahaba Ikram came to Madina Munawwara and Nabi alayhi salatu salam consoled them. That, oh my Sahaba, you left everything behind. What a loss. What a loss. For a mu'min there is no loss. Those that did lose anything, understand my dear brothers, in a life of a mu'min is not a loss, is a test. Loss is when a person misses his salah. Nabi alayhi salatu salam says clearly, person misses one salah, فَكَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ. Not my words, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we have complete yaqeen, trust, reliance, and we believe in it. Person misses one salah, as if his entire wealth and his entire family has been destroyed. He's lost everything. Ulama say Allah's fazl and karam, what we have been through, Allah protect us in the future, but overnight we found no milk and bread. Allah Ta'ala put in the hearts of our brothers, send for the milk and bread. At one time we were buying, now we were getting it free. Allah is Al-Wahhab, the one that gives plenty. Allah sent it. Allah's system, like how we say in English, in every cloud there's a silver lining. Allah's hikmat and wisdom behind everything, why is happening, what is the reason behind it, we leave it to Allah. Ya Allah, we are slaves, we have no say in it. We are happy with every condition. Sahaba Ikram happy in those conditions, Allah Ta'ala say, I'm happy with your also. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. You are happy with the condition I put you in, I'm happy with your also. How Allah Ta'ala turned everything around. Here ulama say, we lost a bit of dunya, the test came. There's no supplies. From a Shari'i perspective, here truckloads came down with food for us. If you understand the system of Allah, we should be asking those people truckloads of jamaats and ulama ikram because our brothers are missing salah. Our brothers are missing salah. They've lost everything. Bring them back to the masjid. Bring them back to the masjid. The Ummat is missing salah. Today is our Jumu'ah salah. Look at the crowd, Asr time, Maghrib time, Isha time, and Fajr. Where's the Ummat? They may be patrolling the entire night, but at Fajr we are sleeping. The trucks should be coming with Jamaats and brothers from those parts of the country. Bring the Ummat back to the masjid. Bring them back to salah. Allah's help is with the mu'min in the masjid. So there's no loss. There's a test. Sahaba Ikram went through the test also. They came to Madina Munawwara, then to complete unrest. No peace. Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir, Banu Qurayza, all the Jewish tribes now. Now they are after the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no peace over here also. Allah hasn't made dunya a place of peace. We are people of akhirat. We belong to Allah, we belong to Jannat. Material of Jannat has to go back to Jannat. They had to completely unrest. But Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum, they understood this was a test we are going through. But the focus was akhirat. To secure my Jannat, to secure my qabr, my akhirat. That was they were working for. My dear brothers, understand, whatever dunya we are working for right now, we're not working to make dunya for dunya. We're not making dunya for dunya. We're making our dunya to make our akhirat easy. To make our salah, to facilitate our masajid, our makatib, our darul ulums, to secure our qabr of akhirat. Not to make dunya just to increase the dunya, to make better holidays. Here in South Africa, Allah Ta'ala has given us the cream of dunya. We've ate the best, we've lived the best. Our masajid the best possibly in the world, on a general note. Allah has given it to us. Only thing left to enjoy now is Jannat. We've had the best already. We're still enjoying the best. We haven't. Allah has saved us. To understand now what has happened in other parts of the world where those brothers have refugee status. They had to leave everything. Now they're living in refugee camps. When the unrest broke out in Syria some years ago, Sheikh Sabuni Rahimahullah, a great scholar of Makkah Mu'azzama, came to our masjid here in Durban. Ascended the minbar. Also Syrian. He says, brothers, why this happened in Syria? We know what happened over there. We are afraid also. Yeah, Allah, shouldn't be that now our homes are taken away also. Allah protect all of us. He said, why did it happen over there? Him being a Syrian also, great mufassir of Quran, written tafsir of Quran Sharif, passed away a few months ago. Allah full is qabr al-nur. He knew the history of mankind, how Allah Ta'ala system operates. And he says that when the pious and the ulama ikram of Syria became complacent, they sat in the masajid and they taught only deen and kitabs and sharia. But outside the masajid in the marketplace, so they went to Syria at that time, he said the bazaars were resounding with music, were immodesty. The women were dressed open hair, makeup, people eating out, as if now there was no fear of Allah. There's no fear. He said they were living it up, eating out all the time. The makeup, the open hair. The husband didn't even worry to command good, to forbid the evil. And the ulama took to their halaqat. Pious people took to their effort and left the masses alone to engage in their haram activities. Whether it be riba, interest, the banks, no hijab in the homes, no intermingling in the homes, without any fear of Allah, Allah becoming upset with us, breaking the command of Allah without any fear. Haram gadgets in our homes, he says there was no fear. The deeni people did their work and those involved in haram continued it. Nobody stopped them. Then the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came into his home. So Aisha's riwayat radiallahu anha, she saw the face of Rasulullah sallallahu, he was perturbed. He made wudu, he left the home. She knew something was bothering him. She put her ears to the wall of the house, which was adjacent to Masjid al-Nabawi. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam takes to the minbar, he calls Sahaba radiallahu anhu, oh my Sahaba, listen carefully. Continue commanding the good. Forbid the evil. Forbid the evil. Or a time will come when Allah will appoint such rulers upon you. You will have no mercy on your elders and your juniors. You will raise your hands, you will make dua, your duas will be rejected. Allah's help will not be with you. He says, listen what happened in Syria. He says, they didn't command the good, and more than that, they didn't forbid the evil. They let it continue, the extravagance, the weddings, the walimas and everything else. Break the command of Allah. At walimas, at weddings, sometimes the glasses, the wine glasses, we cannot drink from it. But we're paying the bill. Throw it. We have the funds. Without any fear. See, they did this. They didn't command evil, they didn't forbid the evil. They didn't command the good, they didn't forbid the evil. Allah turned the tables around. Although there were pious ones amongst them, but nobody, there was not a frown on somebody's, on the forehead, that, oh my daughter, oh my wife. He says, you command the good, forbid the evil with love and muhabbat. Whether people desist and stop is a different thing altogether. But you have to sound the warning. You have to warn the people. In regards to your wealth, your health, your time, your life does not belong to you. Belongs to Allah. You're only a traveler through. So the solution, my dear brothers, Sahaba Ikram, when you came to the dunya, they came to Madinah, Munawwara, nobody consoled them. Whether we start again our business, what do we do? Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu was a businessman. He lost everything. Came to Madinah, Munawwara. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam partnered them a brotherhood between an Ansari and Muhajir. You all are brothers. His brother Ansari told Abdul Rahman bin Auf that I have properties, I'll give you a half. I have two wives, I'll divorce one, give you one wife. I have a home, I'll give you one half of it. So Jazakallah khair. Show me the marketplace. I'll start again. Bismillah. Had enough money to buy a block of cheese, possibly made few pieces from there. He sold it. He made a profit. The next day he bought two, three, four. Until we can say he became an importer-exporter. The barakat Allah will send it. There's no despondency in the life of a mu'min. There's no despondency. Then to this condition, the halat, my dear brothers, the wisdom behind it, our brothers have to go out. The fear now of the creation has come out from the heart. The fear is no more there. And our Allah Ta'ala system was that our brothers in that part of the country send the milk and bread for us. From our masajid, Allah opened it. The da'wah opened it to the local people. And we gave them whatever we could give them from Allah Ta'ala's side. Look at Allah's wisdom, my dear brothers. Allah's karam upon us even in that time. If Allah did not send those truckloads for us Muslims, and we didn't have the resources to share with the entire locality, imagine if we sat and other religious groups had to open their places of worship and distribute from there. We had to stand outside a church or a temple. Inna lillahi wa inna. Allah kept our izzat. Allah kept our honor. We had to stand in the Medina. And you know, when they came to our door, we told them, sorry brother, only one per home. One per person, 1 liter milk, one bread only. If we had to go myself and say, I need two, at least for my ustaz also, for the imam. Sorry, call your imam to line up also. And we had brothers that Allah put in their heart. We heard now possibly on a day of Jumu'ah, your masjid might be under attack. We will come and stand outside and protect your masjid. Imagine the tables the other way around. And they gave us milk and bread. And they told us, brother, Sunday, you have to come stand outside our church. Inna lillahi. We should have been in a fix, my dear. Allah's karam, the wisdom we can't understand. How the da'wat is opened up. Finally, my dear brothers, many points. But the last point, what do we prepare now? How much do we prepare? The question is this, how much do we prepare? What do we do? To prepare on the level that they are gone to, remember, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wasn't sent as a bloodthirsty Nabi. He wasn't bloodthirsty. He came to make every person this time to paradise and jannat. To take everyone with. How much to prepare? Quran says, A'iddu lahum mastata'tum. Prepare to the best of your ability. To prepare like them, we have been sent for the ibadat of Allah. Everything else, humanitarian work, relief work, preparation for everything else, these are activities. These are there to facilitate our ibadat, which is salah, Quran, dhikr, da'wat. This, we have been created for those amal. Everything else is an activity. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ When you finish those activities, now engage yourself in salah, fansab. So all these activities, how much to prepare? Ulama explain, Allah Ta'ala says to the best of your ability. What's the best of my ability? If I can afford to buy one stick to protect myself, buy one stick, keep it at home. If I can't afford that also, get two rocks from the street, keep it at home. Whatever I can prepare. The battle of Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one, turhibuna bihi. Allah will strike hearts in those that want to harm you. Allah will strike awe. Allah will strike terror and awe in their hearts. In the battle of Badr, Sahaba Ikram 300, yarawnahum mithlayhim ra'y al-ayn. When kuffar saw the Muslims, Allah Ta'ala showed their numbers double. What you might be having in your hand, what Allah will show you in His eyes will cause terror in His heart. You see our brothers in Palestine, may Allah protect them. Those young boys are standing with what in their hands? Stones and rocks. Who's more fearful? The young boy, the person in the tank. What Allah shows them, what the young boy is carrying, their eyes are mesmerized. We don't have to go to their level. We do our salah, we do our a'mal, and we have our asbab, Allah will protect. And the ruhani tayari, the last point, spiritually, how much do we protect ourselves? Also ulama are saying, one is that also. And the first line of defense, ulama say, if we can, get dogs. Have in every locality, 1-2 brothers, they open a company, train dogs, keep them on call. When armed response also, my dear brothers, how they made us fools. Armed response means after they've attacked you and left with everything, now they will come. A mu'min is proactive. He's ready beforehand. So ulama say, if we want, have some dogs also, for the sake of security, not within the house. Whether on your property, brothers open up some companies, whatever it is, train them, have them on call. So we don't have to engage physically ourselves. And then, ulama say, at least every one of us, 100 times Durood Sharif every day. 100 times doesn't take us much time. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-ummi, promise of Allah Jalla Jalalu in the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, person who reads 100 Durood a day, Allah will take care of 30 of his dunya needs, 70 of his akhirat needs. Our need right now is more than anything else for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to be with us. 100 times durood, you're in my mercy. 30 of your needs taken care of. 70 of akhirat is taken care of. Allah's promise. If we all can do this every day, prepare whatever we can prepare, our 5 times salah on time, our dua is a weapon of a mu'min. Weapon! We have to use these weapons. Allah give us understanding. Nothing for us to panic, my dear brothers. They say a mu'min's heart. They say to have the heart of a lion. Say a mu'min who has Allah in his heart is even more brave than a lion also. Because he has Allah with him. Ya Allah, there is no loss for me. Ihdal husniyin. There is victory. Why rich may Allah as a matter. So there is no fear for a mu'min. We invest everything in akhirat, Allah has preserved it there. May Allah give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhir du'a, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.